You are listening to the Generous Church Podcast, exploring what it means to selflessly love, give, serve, and live. Today, we join Bob, Eric, and Richard as they discuss what it means to selflessly live.
Asking God for success seems a little self-serving in a series on selflessness. Mm-hmm. God, make me successful. But the story that's told of Abraham's servant who's out seeking a wife for Isaac, I like the first line of the passage from Genesis 24, where the servant prays, "Lord God, master of my master Abraham, make me successful today and show kindness to my master Abraham." So the success that this servant is looking for is personal success, in that he has a task to accomplish and he wants to accomplish it, but he understands the greater purpose of this ultimately is for my master Abraham. And God, I want you to show him success as well. And I think oftentimes we think of success being all about me. And in this case, it's very much both and. It's, God, grant me success in the task that I've been given, but also grant my employer success in the business that they're running as I'm doing this. So it's I think success in this situation falls very clearly in the area of selflessness.
Well, and isn't all success that's sustainable over time submission to something of value? So his relationship with Abraham, the servant, he was as concerned about the success, not just being that he found a good person for that, but it would be someone that would honor Abraham in the process because he valued his relationship with Abraham. So we submit to something that we value whenever we pursue something. So we're asking God, make me successful, but in the context of what I'm submitting myself to in this moment. That might be in the context of your work. It might be in the context of your family. But this particular situation, he's actually going and finding a wife for Isaac. So it's, you know, the bar's really high. And how do you even begin to approach finding the right person for someone else like that?
Well, it's certainly a different culture than the culture I'm familiar with. But I do wonder, as we sit around the table here, all three of us are dads. How many of us have prayed for the success of our families and of our children and of our children's children in the things that they pursue, especially the heavenly pursuits of their life? Mm-hmm. You know, the difference between success and significance in people's lives, and how you strive for particularly financial success most of your life, and then you get a little bit older and all of a sudden you go, yeah, but is there anything along the way that's been significant in that? And I think maybe redefining success as significance for God's kingdom is a place to start.
Mm-hmm. I think redefining success is going to be crucial. I think I talked to my eldest son who's just turned 16, and his new answer when someone says, "What do you want to do when you're old? What do you want to be when you're older?" is he says, "Happy." That's his answer. And I say, "That's a good answer. I like that answer." But actually, he started to change it because he's realizing that the idea of happy, or what I think often people think success is attached to, like euphoria, like you said, success is always an up, I'm achieving. I've kind of always feeling this sense of I'm achieving things, I'm successful, I'm happy, things are going well. I think they're all kind of synonymous with each other. He started to adapt it, and he said to me the other day that, "Dad, I think what I mean when I say that is I want a sense of fulfillment." And that changes things. That's a very different conversation to...
And that's way more in depth than happy.
Right. Happy's already annoying to people who say to him, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" And what they want to hear is, "I want to be a physiotherapist or an accountant." That's what they want to hear. So I like the answer, "I want to be happy," because it's disturbing. I like that nature of it. But What's been interesting as he started to think about that, and he kind of said to me, but we're not always happy. That's like, we're not always successful. Things aren't always going well or right. Actually, what I mean is, I want to be fulfilled. I want to feel like I'm achieving and I'm moving in the direction of things that I'm supposed to be doing with my life, and getting a sense of achievement out of that. And I think that's different in our heads as a definition. And so if you then say, well, success is you living out those things, then asking for that is very different to asking for success in the terms we have previously thought about. So sort of saying to God, I want to be super successful and everything to be big and great and grand and going well. Instinctively, I think often we've gone, I'm not sure you can ask God for that. But I think you can ask for God to help you be in the process of fulfilling the things he's got for you.
And how do we make that shift? What shifted in your son's mind from the move from seeing success as happy to fulfilled? Because that's a maturity issue on it some is. Level.
Yeah.
And what is it that we all go to? We all say, to make me happy, I want to do this. Versus fulfillment leaning towards, actually I want to, if I can strive to be this, right, then fulfillment will begin to happen. But how did he make that transition?
Well, there's a lot of conversations, but I think he started to try and do things that he thought made him happy. Now at 16, you're in like second last year of school, and there's a lot of things that don't necessarily make you happy about that situation, right? You're not quite yet independent. You're not quite as old as you would like to be. Things aren't, you're not making all of the choices you'd like. And so if happy is the goal and you got lots of homework and things, like if happy is the goal, it wasn't really working for him. And so I think what he did in the pursuit of that, he kind of dropped some activities, stopped doing some things that he'd previously been doing. And all of a sudden, just recently, re-picked up a sport that he had enjoyed in the past but decided not to do. And he said to me just the other day, I felt fulfilled. I felt a sense of joy in that. There was something about that I wasn't totally happy. It hurt. Like I was tired. I'm aching. I can barely move today. But I felt a sense of – it filled me up. There was something there that was that was what I'm made for and what I love, and there was a gift in that I'd achieved something that fulfilled me. And I think that's just a very different conversation, but it is a maturity conversation, isn't it? And I think to start saying, God, I would like to live a life that is in line with who you are, what you have for me, and that I may fulfill the things that you desire, and in turn I desire because I know you. Asking for success in that, that's really powerful. And knowing that that's actually not only okay to do, we should be saying that. We want to have success in that.
Well, one of the interesting things in this story for me is we often talk about, God, help me in this difficult situation as a leader here. But then we go do all the details on our own. But that's not what happens in this story. This is an active, ongoing conversation with the servant and God the entire time, to the point where he says, okay, God, we're here. I'm coming into town. The women are coming out to get water. I got to figure out which one of these, if you're going to help me in this. He gives a very specific situation, and God honors that very specific situation. And he's able to see God in the minutiae of the process all along. And so often I think we think that we pray for the big things, but we don't bring them into the little steps along the way. And then we lose focus of what's going on. But how do we bring God in and build the disciplines to bring God into those little moments? Because the big moments are only a sum of the little moments.
Sure.
Well, and I think if you look at his prayer, it's the selfless nature of the prayer. Mm-hmm. You know, he says, Lord God of my master Abraham, make me successful today. Help me pick the right woman out of all the women that are walking this way. Help me pick the right one and do it to show kindness to Abraham. It's not because, God, if I can just bring back the right girl, I can get that promotion that I've really needed and that would really help my family and it would take care of. And it was, it's very much in a work-related scenario, it's, You know, God, help me be successful today in making this sale or doing this presentation or interviewing the right people for the right position because of what the company needs, not because of what I'll get out of it if I happen to pick the right person and, right. and that kind of thing. And that, in doing that, there's an understanding that God, this is more about you and your relationship with my family, the company, than just what can I physically or financially get out of a situation.
So what you're saying is, if I can paraphrase.
I would love to have you clean that up.
Your motivation for seeking success, if it is selfless, is the key. So my motivation to say to God, may this be successful for me and for others and for your plan, that I want to enter into the whole motivation God has for this to be successful, this situation, is the key. So but if my motivation is make me successful for me, we've got a problem.
Well, it's a prayer you can pray.
You can pray that, sure. But the powerful prayer is, may this be successful for you and for us and for your plan in the world. That selfless motivation for praying for success is the powerful turning point.
Because it's his kingdom prayer.
Right.
It's success for God's kingdom
to come. Yeah.
Well, and consider, you know, he had two tasks, right? He had to identify the right and appropriate girl, but then he had to go to her dad,
yeah,
and convince him to say, "I know you don't know me.
I don't know I'm recruiting her to somebody else.
But you got this beautiful daughter, and I know this guy that you've heard of, Abraham. You know, he's kind of related to you, and sure. you haven't seen him in a long time. But I'm going to take your daughter, and I'm going to take her to a land far away, and going to marry Abraham's son." Had he gone to him first with that, maybe not so much. You're not going to be able to make that sale. Sure. But because he brought God into the details of identifying Rebecca, sure. and she had affirmed his testimony when he brought it out, then yep. he said, clearly this is from God.
Sure.
He saw kind of the anointing, God's hand in the process.
Right.
And he became more of what could have been a confrontation to a celebratory kind of moment. So, and that's true success.
Sure. So is the prayer for success actually more about you, about us saying, God, go before us and help me to see and acknowledge where you have been and step into what you are doing. Therefore, we will be successful. So is that actually
and
the
in
prayer?
And in your doing that, God, allow me to feel fulfilled.
Yeah. Yeah. And to see it and to name it for what it is and to realize that we are doing what is meant to be done. We are seeing the fulfillment of this vision or this plan or what you've asked of us or the kingdom that you've spoken of. We are seeing that start to be built. And that is no greater fulfilling feeling than to be part of that. So it's that prayer of God, give us success by us acknowledging where you have gone before us.
Hmm. Yeah. Sounds a little bit like the proverb, in their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their yeah. steps. How does he establish our steps unless we go to him
right.
daily sure. on that to say, Lord, show me how to accomplish this today, this right. milestone that I need to hit.
Well, look, let's be honest. We've been in ministry a long time, and we've been through probably enough strategic planning sessions mm-hmm. to last a lifetime. And let's be honest, there's a danger often sometimes that we make all these grand, amazing plans. Mm-hmm. And then at the end we say, God, if you wouldn't mind, You want to just splash a little bit of success on that? That'd be really great.
Right. Exactly.
We have strategic planned the heck out of that thing. Yep. Right. Like, it is tight as a drum, and we have vision the next 10 years, and we have built this exponentially large vision. And God, would you mind if you might just sprinkle some God on it and make it successful?
Well, and I think possibly that particular proverb that you just quoted, let me find it here, Proverbs 69, it's possible Solomon's doing that a little tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah.
And he says, you know, the hearts of human, we plan out courses. And we go, you know what?
Yeah.
By the year 2020, we're going to be at X, and it's going to look like this. Right. But it's God who establishes every step along the way. And you know what? We went 180 degrees from where we thought we were going to go, but God took us on that path anyway. Right. And so, not to say we can't plan and we can't ask for success.
Sure.
But we really need to look at things from a kingdom perspective and say, listen, God, I know where we're thinking we're heading, but what we'd really like is for you to guide and direct steps all along the path. I mean, let's be honest, fellas. For the last week, we've been sitting here having a discussion about this thing called the Generous Church Project.
Right.
Absolutely.
And what it's going to look like. And every time we come to a decision of what that course might look like from a human perspective, in further conversation, in meeting with people, in having different people speak into the process, that vision moves.
Yeah.
And in fact, becomes smaller and smaller and smaller. And the grandiose idea that we started with a week ago, it has shrunk down to, okay, fellas, there's three of us. How do we generously, selflessly live our lives so that it represents well why Christ came and died for us and what it means to live our lives in his image?
Yeah.
And instead of reaching the world with that message, how do we each live differently?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And pray for that success to be in a trust that we know that this message and this thing we're trying to live out, God has a plan for that.
Well, and I don't think there's anything wrong with looking at the big picture down the road and dreaming what God may be showing bits and pieces, as long as we realize it might not be the entire picture. But the reality is we live in the here and now.
Yeah.
We don't live in the future. We don't live in the past. You know, we should try to evaluate the past, but if we live too much in the past, we're going to dwell on the things that didn't go right.
Right.
You know, and we're not going to really grow from them. But to truly live in the here and now, we have to pray for success. So perhaps in this thing that he's praying for success in the future, yeah, that he'll actually attain the task. But it's in that moment he realized, okay, I'm in the town, the women are here, now what? And he realizes that the moment for him to deal with God is to say, God, now what? What is next? Oh, I got to pick what, show me which one. And, oh, it's in a conversation. Maybe I can find in a conversation, identify the person. But how often do we spend in the here and now?
Yeah.
We're always talking about the future or looking at social media on different perceptions of the past, and it distorts our reality rather than letting us deal with and live in the reality of the here and now. And success, I think, here and now is saying, okay, God, thank you for what I have right here. What do I do with this today?
So it's partly being successful in the here and now, just being truly present. Is it actually the most fulfilling, successful thing we can be, is to be completely present in what God is doing right now?
Hmm.
Like right now. And our prayer being, may we continue to be fully present in what you continue to do into the future.
And I don't think I can be truly selfless and generous if I'm living too much in the future or the past.
Right. Well, yeah. Well, we're back to this from other podcasts. One of my things that stops me from being overwhelmingly generous is I'm scared that in the future, I've given everything away. I've got nothing left. Yeah. Is this idea that, oh, that'll never get refilled. So I think I think you're completely right. You all of a sudden jump to the future. You go, I got to protect today, because who knows what's happening around the corner. And I think a quiet calm presence in the reality of the presence of God and my presence alongside his presence, and asking God what it is you're doing and what can I be doing to be doing that with you.
Well, and ultimately, it's an issue of faith, right? If we truly believe what the gospel tells us about our future, if we truly know that our ultimate future is good and in hand,
yeah,
we should spend more time here, because that's taken care of.
Right.
Our past is dealt with. What do we do here and now, God? Yeah. And that's true success.
Yeah.
Well, and we're promised that he will light our path and he will make the path straight. If we seek him, and if we seek his success along the way and not necessarily ours, what is it you want in my family, in my community, in my work life, in me? And God, how can that be a success and a win for your kingdom right now?
Right now.
Well, what would life really look like if we're confident that the past is forgiven? The future, it's going to be good.
Yeah.
How confident would I be in taking care of the task at hand?
Thanks for listening. For more information on the Generous Church Project, find us at www.generouschurchproject.org. Subscribe today on iTunes to keep up to date with more podcasts.